is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, yes, we're back once again, and what a beautiful day it is out there. How many of you are outside? Oh, if you're outside, you're not listening to me, are you? But oh, what a great day to get out and maybe finish up some of your gardening, pulling out some weeds and things like that. I haven't been able to do that this year, and people driving by our house must say, boy, what's wrong with that guy? That my flowers are overgrown. Because at my age, it's very difficult for me to get down on my hands and knees and pull the weeds out. But boy, my tomato crop is sure good. I have to look through the weeds, and there they are. And it's been a good year for my tomatoes. I've got probably close to 36 of them already, and they're the smaller size and just perfect for sandwiches. Wow. Make myself hungry. Okay, so, I have a copy of the Mohawk Historian written by Kim Moore, and I've been talking about that, some of the historic events of 1919, 100 years ago. Now, I tell you, it wasn't 100 years ago, it was 1983, a very famous, and this is in the Mohawk Historian paper, a very famous singer came to this part of the country. In fact, he sang up in McCutcheonville. Yes, the little burg of McCutcheonville. That's where the old Stagecoach Inn is located. Yes, I was there the day they dedicated that. They restored it. It's interesting, too. In the McCutcheonville Inn is a small flat area when you come in, and that was where you registered and where you got your drink. If you were on a stagecoach, you were mighty thirsty, and you walked up and came in, and they served you drinks on that little counter. Ah, that was a long time ago. Now here's Rumorville. Charles Dickens, you know, the famous author, came through Marion in earlier days, and they say that people waved at to him out their windows along Main Street. Well, here's what I wonder. At that time, how did anyone know Charles Dickens was going to be coming through Marion at any particular time, or just plain coming through Marion? But the rumors have it that people waved to him. Did it really happen that way? He did come through Marion. He wrote about his travels in this part of the country, and that is not very enduring. He talked about hogs and mud and bumpy areas. Charles Dickens. Okay, now, in McCutcheonville, I got sidetracked there. McCutcheonville, a very famous singer, came, and on Sunday, October the 2nd, this famous singer and his band, the band that opened up for him was called Buzz Coachley, and this famous artist was on stage at 7 p.m. for $10, featuring Sunday liquor and basket dinners. This famous singer is dead. Can you tell me who he was? Now, this is 1983. He sang at McCutcheonville. You wouldn't have believed. I mean, for $10 a ticket, he probably elsewhere got hundreds of dollars, or, you know, $100 or more for a ticket. And now, he had two famous parents, this singer did. Now, who was he? Yeah, he had a brother also. A brother and two famous parents. And they were on television, too. If you can name the singer, I will give you your choice here of an Oil Change, The Wilds, or what else do I have here to give away? A Partridge in a Pear Tree? No. I should have. Oh, yeah, Zoo Tickets. All right. And the Bill Huntsman Oil Change. Saw Bill just the other day. 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil. Bill Huntsman's Auto Service. Okay. He once had the Isetta I've talked about, but he doesn't have it. He sold it to somebody. Boy, what a car. Isetta was a one-person car. You could only hold one person in it. And a lot of people own those for kind of large. Okay, 740-383-9944. Can you name that famous singer? And when I say famous, yes. He was actually killed in a plane crash. But this was 1983 that he was in Wyandotte County singing in McCutcheonville. Now, it's hard to realize such a famous singer was in McCutcheonville for $10 a ticket. He had two famous parents. He had a famous brother, too. And who was he? You think for a bit. 740-383-9944. Who was that singer in McCutcheonville, 1983, who later on died in a plane crash? And it was his own plane. It was an old DC-3 that had a lot of problems. And one of the problems really amplified itself, and it crashed and took his life. Okay, here we go. Okay. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hello, Charlie, how you doing?
Hey, let me check. All right.
Okay, heart's still beating. Was that Ricky Nelson?
Yes, it was Ricky Nelson. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine Ricky Nelson in McCutcheonville for $10 a ticket?
I can't imagine. I got a CD of Ricky Nelson in my truck.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, he owned this DC-3, and it was a rattle trap of a plane, and it crashed.
Well, that ain't good.
That was the end of Ricky. What would you like for a prize today?
Let's do an oil change.
Oil, yes, all right. Very good. Yeah, call Bill before you go and, let him know you're coming.
Yeah, I always stop over there and make an appointment.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Oh, wait.
All right.
What's your name?
This is Pat Henry.
Pat Henry. Okay, Pat. Thanks for your answer.
Okay. What time you guys open up there?
8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay, Pat. All right. Pat Henry. Good. Okay. Ricky Nelson. Yes, indeed. Remember Ozzy and Harriet? Yeah. Wait, let me write down his name here so I don't forget. Okay. Oil change. And today is the 19th already? My. Time is flying, isn't it? My. It's 9/19/19? It is. It's 9/19/19. Good grief. How about that? How many years will it take for that to happen again? Probably never, will it? 9/19/19. A memorable day, indeed. Okay. Here's another caller. All right, let's see. Okay, caller, good morning.
Yes, I was talking about...
Oh, yes, go ahead.
The Fairground Street.
Yes.
There used to be, they owned this property on East Fairground Street, and it was a big empty lot, and that's where the pizza place is now in Fair Park, and a little mall-like.
Yes, I know.
And that's where the circuses would come.
Oh.
And not only them, but the McKinley Players.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with them.
Yes, and I remember them more so than the circus, but I remember Mom and Dad talking about
it was the Kinsey Comedy, and I can even tell you where they had their flyers made in Continental, Ohio. There was a print shop there that printed all the Kinsey Comedy flyers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gracious. And then they had boxes of candy, I believe.
Yes, they did. And they said there might be a watch or a ring or something.
Right.
Yes. Oh,
Boy, us kids, we just thought that was something great. You wanted to look and see what was in that box.
Yeah. You know what I remember from the Kinsey Comedy, too, in Bucyrus? One of the songs was Ramona, da 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 da.
Yes, right, yeah. And, but that, you know, as young as I was, I enjoyed going to those.
Oh, yeah.
But before they come out, I remember they had that big drop cloth, and it had a great big sun shining on that. Painted on
yes.
it.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
No, But I remember they came around in the neighborhood. They needed to borrow, a baby buggy or something.
Oh, my gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kinsey really, County. Yeah, that was. But that family raised my father. And then I understand, and I do remember, and at the time I was wondering why, since they always went on Fairground Street. Up there where you lived, where all those brick homes are.
Yes.
That also was an anti-lodge, and I understand that the circus went up there also.
Well, that's interesting. I remember across the street from me, there was a hotel that Tom Thumb and his wife stayed overnight once.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So.
The past, yeah.
Yes, I enjoy the past, and I enjoy your show so much. And I'm glad that Scott Spears is getting things out now about Isley's and stores uptown, and that just brings back a lot of memories. I know I told my son one time, which he's 56 right now, I believe, and we was talking about going uptown on Friday night and setting along the streets, and he said, Mom, what in the world would you do sitting along the sidewalk uptown? I said, Keith, you wouldn't believe it. I said, those sidewalks were just packed with people, and that's, you'd go up and sit in your car and visit and did your little bit of shopping and come back.
Yep.
And you'd see people that you hadn't seen from the week before.
That's right.
But he just couldn't understand that.
Well, now here's something interesting. During the popcorn festival, I was able to park across the street from where I'm working in that lot there, and I got a bratwurst, and my wife and I, Jeannie and I, sat in the front seat, me eating that bratwurst, watching the people going up and down the sidewalk, and we both thought, this is just like a long time ago.
Like Friday night.
Yes. Oh, my. That was the greatest. Boy, you had to come uptown early to get a parking place.
You sure did. Yeah. Yes, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I had to say for today.
Very good. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Yes. How many of you are old enough to remember coming uptown and parking and watching people going up and down the sidewalk? And like I say, I was able to do that during the Popcorn Festival because the lot right across from the Ohio Health Building, it's a big parking lot. And since I have a handicap sticker, we were able to park right there, right in, you might say, in the middle of the festival and watch people. That was a great, that brought back so many memories. Oh, my goodness. 740-383-9944. So, I've told you a lot about what was happening 100 years ago. And, boy, just think, 100 years ago, and there were no radios at that time. Now, about 1922 is when a lot of the radio stations went on the air, KDKA in Pittsburgh.
Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Wow, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. Caller, good morning.
Available now. Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, Charlie.
Oh, hi.
Hey, that empty lot she was talking about was called Drake's Lot.
Drake's, so yes. Drake's lot. All right.
It's a flood every year. You know, they would, we could, I live down on Park Street, and we'd hear the calliope, and we know that either the carnival or the circus was in town. And like I say, it would flood every year, and then after they started Fair Park, first few years, there was a bunch of flooding in there. They didn't have proper sewers. So the front part would flood.
Okay. Now, I remember somebody mentioned Avondale Avenue. I remember out that way once a carnival came to town, and in that carnival was this man on display who was called Maurice the Ossified Man.
And where would it have been on Avondale?
Avondale, yes. Okay. And that thought of that Maurice the Ossified Man goes through my mind once every day. He was amazing.
Must have been before my time.
Yeah, he was turning to stone.
Oh.
Yeah, boy. So, yes, a lot of things were happening years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
That carnival or circus used to be great every year. We'd hear that calliope playing, and we knew it was in town.
Wow. Now, wasn't there a lot up on North Prospect Street, too? Was it called the Aaron Holt Lot? Seemed like before they built those big brick apartment buildings.
Well, that was a long time ago, because that was a WPA project.
Yes. And that housed the people that worked at the munitions plant, too.
Yeah, that was part of... FDR's WPA plan to put people to work. So
that's right. You know, he had an outhouse named after him, called the Roosevelt Outhouse, made out of cement.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, they also built the Harding Stadium.
That's right. Yeah.
And then
the wall around in Prospect Park.
Yeah, but the one in Fostoria, and the one in. Fremont, that was built, and also the stadium over at Lima
okay.
Senior.
Wow. Okay.
All built under WPA.
Isn't that something? And we used to say, yeah, WPA, we play around.
Yeah. they almost all look the same if you've been down at all the stadiums.
Yes. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
Same architecture.
That's for sure. Very good.
All right. Talk to you later, Charlie.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Yeah. Anyone else got any things to say about WPA projects in Bucyrus? There was a project around what we used to call the Knee Reservoir, a project where they planted pine trees. And I know an uncle of mine was working on the WPA, and he planted these trees. And today, if you could go out there, they'd be over 100 feet tall. Yep. That was a project, though. WPA, Roosevelt, put people to work. And people that didn't have, you know, two dimes to rub between their palms got jobs through WPA. And there was also a Civilian Conservation Corps. Oh, here's a caller. Yeah, okay, go ahead, caller.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about Connie's. I don't know if anybody remembers or not. But back years ago, they used to set them up over Lincoln Park.
Oh.
because my daughter, of course, she's in her 40s now, but we was over there, and she went to step up on the merry-go-round and got shot.
Wow.
But that was in, it's headed up there in that field out in Lincoln Park.
Yes, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, but there ought to be somebody left around to remember.
Okay. A lot of carnivals and things back in another era. Yeah,
yeah, they come through, and then they used to set them up in the lot out in front of the old Hills department store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they set up in Lincoln Park a couple of years, but it didn't last too long over there.
Okay. Well, very good. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, you know, there were a lot of those... I can remember in Bucyrus, and I think I've told it before, I went with my uncle and my cousins to a, this was during World War II, when the military camp was in there. But this wagon pulled in, and a guy stood on the back of the wagon. Well, here's another caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to mention, a lot of those trees and things were planted under the CCC, Civil Conservation.
Oh, Civilian Conservation Corps, yeah.
I know my dad went down in southern Indiana, down there around Sunrise, someplace in that area, you know, and planted trees along one of the big creeks or rivers that flowed into the Ohio River there.
Wow. Well, you know...
They got paid, I don't know, $25 or $30 a month, and they could only keep $5, and they had to send the rest of it home.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's something. Now, there was a Triple C camp here in Marion at the corner of what we now University Drive and the road, the, what do they call it, the east-west road there.
Oh, on the Mount Gilead, or
well,
Marion Mount Gilead, or 309?
It was south of there. Oh, these things pop, you know. Oh, criminy. It runs...
Marion Edison?
Yeah, Marion. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
okay.
It. Corner
okay.
Marion Edison and, yeah, Richland Road, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Triple C, yeah. It put a lot of guys to work, that's
put
sure.
a lot of work guys to work and did a lot of good.
Yeah, oh, yes.
You know, it was some good direction, I think.
That's right.
To what they were doing.
And it was needed so bad because...
It was needed.
Oh,
right.
My goodness. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, having already started through the depression and some of the really dry weather there in the mid-30s, and there was a lot of infrastructure, was improved.
And I was born in the mid-30s, but during that time it was so dry out west, I've talked about it before, they shipped cattle into Delaware County to graze.
My dad told me, just south of Delaware there.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the east side. Yeah.
Now we talk about things happening today. Well, things have been happening all along.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good.
Like you said, put a lot of people to work.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people were desperate. There were a lot of suicides.
Yeah.
People lost their homes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know you could buy homes for several hundred dollars, and a lot of people that had money stashed away bought up those homes and then later on sold them for a good price.
Yeah, I know my dad said he could have bought a really nice house for $1,500.
Yeah.
Said that he couldn't afford the down payment.
And
it wasn't very much.
Yeah, boy, what an... Now, I hope we never have to live through an era like that. I don't know how we could do it.
No.
No way.
But, you know, the era back then, people just wanted something. They didn't want everything.
Something to get by. Yeah.
One of the problems of today's society is the young kids want everything right now.
That's right. The sooner the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's short. Everything is so short term.
Yes, exactly.
No long term planning or savings or anything. You see it pop up in all kinds of things.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Sports and television and everything.
And it's made a lot easier to get something on time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All
right.
Okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I was born during the aftermath of the Depression, and my parents were paying $5 a month for a little home on James Street in Bucyrus, and later on, they rented a house on Plants Way that had once been struck by lightning, and when the winds blew, the home had a creak to it, and they said that's where the lightning, you know, split it. But anyhow, my mother and dad were still so poor. My dad worked for $5 a week milking cows for a farm and delivering the milk. And, oh my goodness. But, and because of that, I wasn't born in a hospital. I was born at home. And I still sleep in the bed I was born in. Yes, and I can remember during World War II, when my dad went to the Navy, we had to rent a home. They had just built a brand new home, and so we had to take all the furniture and store it in a place in Bucyrus, and that's the furniture in our house right now, the furniture that was stored in that little warehouse in Bucyrus during the war. And then we moved here and there. A long time ago, I can remember rigging up a bell when we all thought that the war in Japan was going to end soon. I rigged up a bell on our front porch with a long string on it and took the string inside. So if I heard on the radio the war is over, I'd pull on that string and ring the bell. And then, a little while later, I can remember my dad coming up on the front steps with his campus bag over his shoulder, coming back from the Navy. Wow. Those were interesting moments and interesting years. And could we go through that again? Well, if we had to, I don't know. Things are different, of course. Life was a little simpler and cheaper back then, although if you weren't making much money, it was expensive. And that's the way it is today. You know, everything relates. I once talked to a lady that worked at across from Schaffner's. There was a glove factory in Marion. And she said, well, Charlie, I could buy a pound of hamburg back then for 10 cents. I said, well, how much did they pay you an hour? 10 cents. Yep. How times change. Okay, 7403-839-944. Do any of you, and I'll never get this man out of my mind. There are a few things that stick in my mind. Maurice the Ossified Man was in that sideshow or carnival over on Avondale Avenue, and he was a man supposedly turning to stone. And that's why he was ossified. Maurice the Ossified Man. Can you imagine today a sideshow containing a man who is eventually turning to stone? Well, that was when people used to perform on stage in with tattoos. Remember the tattooed ladies and men? They ought to see what it's like today. 7403-839-944 is our number to call. And let's see, it's 11:44 already. Good grief, where is time going today? Scott will be on, of course, and Glenn this afternoon. And hopefully you'll join in with more Old Times of Marion. And one thing that we're so happy about here at this radio station that more and more people have found out where we are. And the fact that you can hear things just like you did years ago on another station, WMRN. Okay. It's now 11:45.
Scott, did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Now, you've heard about people today on television say, the end is near, folks. Send me your money. The end is near. But they don't say what they'll do with the money if the end comes. Well, anyhow, speaking of things like that, Halley's Comet, named after astronomer Edmund Halley, Halley's Comet only passes the Earth every 76 years or so. When it buzzed our planet in 1910, it sparked a lot of interest. According to Wired.com, telescope sales skyrocketed as the comet appeared. Hotels even offered special deals so people could gather on top of their roofs to watch the meteor pass. Of course, not everyone was pleased with the comet's appearance, as many believe the shooting star would end civilization. Whoa, this crazy idea came from Camille Flammarion, a French astronomer who believed the comet's 24 million mile long tail contained a poisonous gas. Oh, speaking of callers, good morning, caller.
Yeah, Charlie, I just heard the 309 overpass is open.
Yeah, try it. You can't use it.
I know, a buddy of mine just called. He just drove over it a few minutes.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, I tried going over it on my way to work this morning, and it was all blocked by men painting lines and putting up guardrail.
Well, I know a couple people, they must have it open now. You have to check it out.
I will. On my way home, I'm going to try it.
They said they drove over it.
Well, good.
About an hour ago.
Okay. But that intersection there has to be rearranged.
Yeah, you would think.
That could be very dangerous.
I just thought I'd let you know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Well, that's good to hear. Like I say, I was there this morning, and I couldn't get near that overpass because of all the trucks and men working. Are they going to put some final touches, though, on the sides of it? You know, in one area they paneled it with stone. Like, will they do that on the rest of it? I wonder. Okay, now let's go back to the comet. Halley's Comet. This man claimed that its tail contained cyanogen gas that would impregnate the atmosphere and possibly snuff out all life on the planet. Unfortunately, the New York Times did a piece on Flammarion's apocalyptic theory that encouraged some less trustworthy newspapers to run wild with the story. So in addition to telescopes, people started ransacking stores trying to find gas masks. Con men made a killing by selling anti-comet pills. Oh boy. Some people worried the comet would cause the Pacific Ocean to change basins with the Atlantic and turn the world into one heterogeneous mass of chaotic confusion. Worried that parishioners flocked to their churches. According to science writer Matt Simon, people actually sealed up their keyholes. Their keyholes to keep poison out of their homes. When the comet finally passed, however, the gas masks proved totally worthless, as there was no poison. Well, a few people blamed the meteor for King Edward VII's death, but there's not a lot of science backing that claim. Interestingly, Mark Twain also passed away as the comet flew overhead. I did know that. That's extra weird considering he was born as the comet flew past in 1835. So he was born the day the comet appeared, and he died the day the comet appeared. How about that? Halley's Comet. Now, there's a, there's a picture here and a story. You have to, before dentures, before false teeth were invented, teeth were pulled from the mouths of dead soldiers to use for prosthetics. Yeah. Now, here's one now. Now, just remember, before there were alarm clocks, there was something called knockers up. They were hired to shoot dried peas from a blowgun at people's windows in order to wake them up in the morning. Now, can you imagine somebody blowing through a little pipe dried peas against your window to wake you up? You think that really did happen? Albert Einstein could have been the president of Israel when it was formed in 1947, but he declined. Okay, but again, before dentures were invented, teeth were pulled from the mouths of dead soldiers to use for prosthetics. All right. Oh, my. While Pope Gregory the Ninth was in power, he declared that cats were to be associated with devil worship and had them exterminated in droves. Yeah, it's believed that the disappearance of those cats helped rats spread bubonic plague, or Black Death, that killed hundreds of millions of people in the 1300s. All right, so that's something, did you ever hear that before? Churchill loves cigars. I know a lot of guys like the, you know, the special cigars, especially Cuban cigars. And when I was a kid, I used to pick up used cigar butts and smoke them. And I quit smoking in 1983, and the used cigar butts long before that. But the thing is, to this day, I've got some permanent lung damage from all that smoking. Quitting in 1983, and they used to say, oh, you quit smoking and your lungs will turn just like new. That's not the case, obviously, if you don't quit now. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyhow, Churchill, getting back to Churchill, he liked cigars so much. Do you know how many he smoked every day? He smoked 10 cigars every day. Boy, I wonder, he must have threw away a lot of cigar butts. Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, and listen to this. In Orange, New Jersey, the bursting of a tank of hot soap in the process of manufacture has given the sewer department the biggest job of sewer cleaning that it ever had. Several tons of that sticky mass of soap got into the pipes and solidified, stopping the mains completely. For a mile long, the line of sewer was plugged up away from the factory men worked day and night at each manhole trying to pierce the mass. The soap was as hard as if it had dried for weeks, and it looked like there would be a long job ahead for the department. Yeah, a soap explosion in 1910 in Orange, New Jersey. Now, does that town ring a bell? Orange, New Jersey? Was that where Edison had his laboratory? Or was it Menlo Park? It seems like Orange, New Jersey rings a bell for Edison. Maybe I'm wrong. I was in Edison's hometown the other day. Really enjoyed the Milan Millen Festival, yeah. Because I told you that. Okay, now the time was 11:55 already. Anyone else have something to contribute? Do any of you, and I'm sure no one remembers because I was, how old was I in my early 20s when I saw Maurice the Ossified Man, the man turning to stone at a sideshow on Avondale Avenue. Oh, my. Now, can you imagine the guy that must have made a fortune with Halley's Comet saying that he was going to poison everybody on Earth and got people to buy gas masks? And oh, my. Now, the lady mentioned Kinsey Comedy. Now, the Kinsey Comedy sold boxes of popcorn, kind of like Cracker Jacks, claiming that in one of those boxes they sold, you would find a watch or a diamond ring. I don't know if anyone ever found that or not. But Kinsey Comedy was good. You could attend, I don't know how much they charge, not much. But it was an evening of vaudeville acts on stage. And they rolled into town, put up their tent, put up their stage, and away they went. They had some good singers, too. Kinsey Comedy. And like I said, there has been a documentary on television, on public television, of this printing shop in Continental, Ohio. I think it's gone by now, but they made newspapers and flyers of all kinds, but one of the flyers they made was for the Kinsey Comedy, the Kinsey Players. Maud Kinsey was the her, that was her first name, Maud. Yeah. You can look all that up on the internet, too. Google it, and you'll find out. Okay. Let me see what else can, where it's already 11:57. Anyone have a quick idea? I remember, too, the saying, the WPA could have built that stone wall around the park in Waldo, no, in Prospect. So they asked, apparently, city council said, now we can build that stone wall around the park, they said they could put in sewers, that's it. They could put in sewers in Prospect, and the council turned them down and instead built that stone wall. Maybe they had WPA build the wall instead of a sewer. Anyone familiar with that? I doubt it, because you would have had to have been little infants back then. And and nobody can remember. Okay, 740-383-9944. I would like to know more about that story, though, about Prospect. They could either have sewers put in by the WPA or a stone wall built around the park. And they chose the stone wall. Now, I'm sure that must be true, but there's probably nobody alive unless you go back to the council minutes clear back in the Depression era and to see if that is true, that the city wanted, or the village wanted, that stone wall more than free sewers by the WPA. And, of course, like my one caller said, we had the Civilian Conservation Corps also, and they had a camp here at the Marion Edison and Richland Road, right there in the corner, where all those big oak trees are. I remember, too, I was called to that area when there was a barn there that belonged to a family, and they called me and said, Charlie, in our barn there's a bunch of white, young white birds. And so I went, and they were baby turkey buzzards, or turkey vultures. And soon they turned black, of course, and flew away. It's now noon. Have a great day. Have some good food. We'll see you tomorrow at the same time on WWGH 107.1.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda,